This is Money Moves on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Kicking off hour two of Money Moves live in downtown Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book, Circa Resort and Casino, alongside Jonathan Von Tobel. Stormy Bonantoni with you. Coming up in 15 minutes, we go have the VP of operations at this fine establishment, Mike Palm, join us in studio. I know he's got some good hockey thoughts that we will get into, as well as an MLB play for the day, which is always fun. We'll have our best bets at the end of the hour. Plenty of Major League Baseball. I did get tweeted at, though, that people are upset that I didn't talk about my experience yesterday with the Minnesota Wild and Vegas Golden Knights. It was my first time between the benches. Mm-hmm. And it was very fun. But that said, I'm curious what this is going to look like for the Golden Knights moving forward for the Edmonton Oilers. I did not expect the Wild to be nearly as competitive as they were in this series. Golden Knights go down 2-1 in the set. They end up having to win 3 straight one-goal games down the stretch. Even last night, when they looked like they were in the driver's seat, they score a goal late, and immediately the Wild come back 30 seconds later. So it seemed like they never went away. They were consistently pushing, and now you have an Edmonton Oilers team that has a lot of high-end talent and can be dangerous scoring, as we saw in the Kings series last night.
I would think, you have a better hockey eye than I, but I thought that everything Vegas was doing was somewhat self-induced. Mm. So performing, I wouldn't take away from the series like, oh man, that Wild team was a lot more competitive, and now here we go, this team is flawed. I think a lot of it was some mistakes that they were making, and now that you kind of get that out, then you go on to take an Oilers team that's pretty flawed when you talk about them defensively. You could probably
flawed
score
defensively,
them
and what the hell is going on in net?
Right.
Obviously, you didn't have Stuart Skinner back in, and Calvin Pickard supposed to be your answer? I don't think so. But they can score so many goals at will that my worry for the Golden Knights, and I think that they win the series. I found it pretty interesting that, especially considering they have home ice in the best of seven, they're an underdog. The Oilers -120 favorites, and Vegas sitting at even money right now, that the Oilers have so much talent that the puck management issues that we saw early on in the series with the Wild did concern me a touch, that there were a couple of goals. I don't want to call you out, Shea Theodore, but you gift wrapped for the other side.
Yeah, I'm with you. I was surprised that they're underdogs here. And considering how well they played on home ice the entire year, too. Like, that's been a very big strength for them. I already have a future ticket on them, the Knights, to win this whole thing. So I'll sit back and wait. But I do think that if you were to remove that, I would be in on Vegas as a small underdog price there.
I learned that I have a new pregame meal when I do hockey games, by the way, yesterday as well.
Which was?
Uncrustables.
Yeah.
Are you an Uncrustable person?
Yeah, of course. I mean, peanut butter and jelly salad. It's, I think, probably the greatest sandwich of all time.
Whoa.
Seriously.
Put that on a poll. Greatest sandwich of all time.
I mean, it has to be in terms of the versatility, how easy it is to make, how often. I mean, there's not many people who don't enjoy peanut butter and jelly.
It's hard for me to disagree, considering I downed 4 of them before the game yesterday. Four Uncrustables. That's pretty calorically dense, by the way. You don't want to look at the nutrition facts on that bad boy. But it was like I got a little out of hand. I didn't want to eat the pregame meal, so Uncrustables were the way.
I assume they weren't frozen.
The first one was still a little bit, and that's the way I like it the best. But the other ones were not.
Really?
Unfortunately.
Like when the peanut butter is like still a little like hard?
Yes, I like it like that.
Okay. That's not the worst thing.
Are you a strawberry or a grape person?
Strawberry. I don't think there's any question about that. There's literally no debate.
That was such a quick answer.
If you like grape jelly, you're a heathen. I think there's really no question about the preferences between the two.
So I was eating strawberry ones yesterday, but I don't discriminate. I like grape just fine.
No, grape jelly's terrible.
What?
Yeah.
All right. So that's another thing for you to tweet at us. I feel like that's a little bit overblown to think grape is that disgusting. Grape, like cough syrup, sure. But grape jelly, delightful. We'll get to more hockey in a little bit.
Wow.
What?
A survey by AYTM found that 42% of respondents preferred grape jelly.
Really?
Mm, interesting. Based on consumption data, grape jelly is the more popular jelly. Very disappointed
Boom.
To hear.
Boom. This is the research that you get here on Money Moves. But let's get to a little bit of baseball, because we've been very NBA heavy. We're going to talk a lot more NHL in this hour. But we're more than a month into the season. Teams have played upwards of 30 games. But in a season of 162, it's still a relatively small sample size. At what point do you think what we have seen with teams is for real or not? Are there some teams where you feel like you already have a good grasp? I know the Rockies are bad, but hey, I mentioned earlier, they're on a heater. They won 2 in a row against good teams all of a sudden.
Yeah. No, I don't think you really know.
With that in mind, there goes my Giants start to the month.
Oh, yeah. No, that's fine. We got plenty of time. No, I don't think you really know until like the middle of summer for some of these teams. You even look, I mean, there's plenty of opportunities. These teams make deep runs all the time. When I say deep, I should say late into the season they make runs to make pushes back into postseason contention, whatever it may be. Injuries, obviously the easy one, the low-hanging fruit would be the Atlanta Braves. Right? But the Braves are a team that got off to an incredibly slow start. A lot of people would point to them as a late riser that you could look to and go, no, like if the odds continue to shrink on this team to win the World Series, you could convince yourself that with the eventual return of Acuna, with the eventual return of Strider, that this is going to be a team that is formidable and can thrust themselves into a wild card race with all of the teams in front of them. So I don't think outside of – it's much like I think golf where I think there's – you can lose in the first round. You can never win, but you can always lose in the first round. And I think there's certain teams, Colorado, Chicago, my Angels seem to be that kind of a team too. We can go through some others that are very, very poor, and we know that's going to be the case. But especially in the American League, Stormy, I mean, you could pull out. I think you throw like six teams in a hat and pull one out, and you're like, yeah, that could be the American League winner. And I don't think it would be a shock that they do it.
Interesting. Yeah, that presents some opportunities potentially on the odds board. But to your point about some teams being slow starters, I even think about Aaron Judge last year who had one home run in the month of April, and then he goes on to be MVP. So you don't fully have a grasp of what things are going to be yet, but because you mentioned the Braves, just looking through their schedule, 0-7 to start the year to 5-13. Now they've won 9 of their last 12. Strider coming back, Acuna coming back, all of those things. So they were as low as minus 135 to make the playoffs in that market. It's back out to minus 145 and kind of creeping more so in that direction.
Real quick, the other team that I think is worth talking about here, obviously, is, I shouldn't say obviously, but Seattle. I think Seattle's a really interesting team. Seattle is second in weighted runs created plus right now. They're floating around 21st in strikeout rate. This lineup was abysmal last year, but all of a sudden they're hitting for power. They're absolutely incredible. In terms of total home runs hit so far, they're fourth in Major League Baseball right now. To me, that's a very big surprise. Does that continue, or does this lineup start to become exactly what it was last year, and that fall off is coming? We know that Logan Gilbert had the forearm strain, so he hits the injured list. So those, I think, that's the other team, too, where you look at some of these hot starts, you look at how well they have played, and you wonder, are there teams that you can eventually start to fade in terms of futures markets? Seattle's going to be an interesting one because that lineup last year was awful, and this year it is the second-best lineup by some metrics.
Full slate of action today. The Mariners are in action at the Rangers. Brian Wu starting for Seattle. Jack Leiter gets the ball for Texas. Only giving up 3 runs in 3 starts. Could be due for some regression, but he's good. Wu against Texas 3 starts ago. Gave up a single earned run over 7 innings. Struck out 7. When you have that next time out that you're meeting a team that you played recently, is that that's advantage hitters typically? Mm-hmm. Do you feel one way or another about that or this game?
I think you can make the case that it's not really the greatest for Wu, but it's also a divisional game, right? So, like, these are teams that are familiar with one another regardless. And I'm a big Brian Wu guy. Like, if you look at his numbers across the board, right in line with where he's at. You know, it's funny, in the minors, I think it looked like he was going to be a dominant strikeout dude. He's a good strikeout guy, but not necessarily, like, the rate at which I thought he was going to be. But he is very good at keeping the ball down, does not allow home runs, really solid in terms of strikeout-to-walk rate. Like, I think he's a really solid dude to continuously back, and especially when you're talking about the run support that he's getting. Having said that, we saw this open up like $1.20 in favor of Seattle in some spots. We're starting to inch toward Texas. Given the way that Leiter is pitched here, there's no real blemish in his numbers that would tell you that he is due for some sort of, like, deep regression. 13 1/3, 2.03 ERA, 2.20 fielding independent. I think that this is probably a pretty gritty, low-scoring game. We've also seen Texas really struggle offensively the last few weeks. Namely, we talked about this yesterday. Tyler Molly, as I mentioned, right? Markey comes in on Molly or against Molly. There seems to be some thought that Molly isn't going to pitch particularly well. He does. He actually only gives up one earned run over the course of, I think it was 6 innings. Rangers end up losing 3-0 because they can't give him any run support, and they have nothing on offense. Maybe you go under here considering how well both teams are pitching and what we talked about. Seattle may be a little fraudulent with the degree to which how well they have been hitting.
Slight juice, too, on that under 8.5 right now, so that is where the market is going. As you went through the card today, and there are so many games, any one or two that stood out to you that either triggered a bet or you're contemplating one for this afternoon?
I mean, I thought it was interesting that the market is all in here on the Yankees and the Rays, considering how high this price is getting right now. We saw this open -210 in favor of New York.
It's max free.
Yeah, and now we're at like -258 at some spots here. You mentioned Max Fried getting the start for the Yankees against Pepiot here. Fried so far, though, has pitched extremely well to your point. $1.19 on the ERA, but the FIP is near 3. So there's like nearly a two. There's over a 2-run difference there. So maybe, or nearly a 2-run difference there. So maybe there's going to be a little bit of regression to the mean to a very good pitcher as opposed to an elite pitcher. I think the question just becomes like, is he worth that massive of a price considering how well he's pitched? Sure, but that stuck out to me as high as it is, and I do wonder if there's going to be any buyback at some point here for the Rays. And Pepio, he has not pitched particularly well, and he is a dude that probably does get blasted, but I was very surprised that we're reaching minus 260 in favor of New York here today. I wonder how high it gets.
Even the F5 run line is minus 145.
Yeah, it's pretty high. Freed's been great, though. Like, give him credit. Obviously, he's been great. Should also note, later tonight, the Angels and the Tigers, but Mike Trout did end up hitting the injured list. So a bone bruise there for Trout. Soriano gets the start. He opposes Skubal, and that is a meaty price tag, $1.80
Lots of injuries going on. Which, by the way, just coming off of the Yankees, the injury stuff for Stanton and everything, yep. How concerning is that for you in this, you know, midterm range of the season?
I think it's more concerning about Chisholm, right? The 10-day IL. I mean, I don't think it sounds like I was watching the Yankees-Orioles game the other day. They were making it sound like it wasn't going to be too serious. They didn't even know if he was going to be on the injured list. Turns out, obviously, he is. So I think, considering the fact that you haven't had Giancarlo Stanton, it's not that big of a deal. But Chisholm not being out there, I think, is the more important thing. We'll see how long it is, but I think that's more impactful.
Okay, we're going to take a quick timeout, but a reminder, everybody, the Kentucky Derby is coming up this weekend, and if you're looking for a new way to feel the rush of the Derby, First Bet is your front row seat to the fastest 2 minutes in sports and so much more. You can bet on the Derby and hundreds of other races every day at firstbet.com. The Kentucky Oaks going on today. That's the number one, stbet.com, firstbet.com. Use the promo code VSIN200. That'll grab you a $200 sign-up bonus. Get ready. The Derby starts at firstbet.com. We're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, I'll be joined on set by two actors. Mike Palm joining us next here in studio.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Here on Money Moves, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Jonathan Von Tobel and Stormy Bonantoni with you as we welcome into the desk Mike Palm, VP of Operations here at Circa Resort and Casino. And guys, I'm like overwhelmed by the acting star power that we have here on the desk as the commercial here at Circa gets revealed this morning. What's going on?
Yeah, I like the little cameo roles each year, of course.
You always get a good costume, I've noticed.
Costume is important. I remember the first year, remember I was the old guy at the racetrack that Derek had to explain how the app works. Walter. Mm-hmm. That was 4.5 hours of makeup to make me look 75. Now it would probably take about 10 minutes.
I very much enjoyed my time, really got into the zone. And my character, I thought, had some really good depth to it. So it was very fun.
It did. It was well developed, I thought.
Look at, there you are, huh?
How did you guys come up with these ideas?
Mina Kimes? I thought we had Mina Kimes in the pool.
You're the worst. How do you guys come up with these ideas, though? The Batman theme, it's every year it's something different.
It is. We get pitched ideas. 1650 is our creative agency out of San Diego. They're the ones that came up with the name Circa. Which, you know, Derek had two criteria for the name. It had to be two syllables and it had to have an R. And he rejected my immediate idea of hubris, but they came up with Circa and it's sort of catched, you know, I guess it's been okay. But they pitched several ideas each year. I don't know. I was not in that meeting this year. And Derek said this was the first idea they pitched and he really loved it. He and Brooke, the marketing director. So they went with it. He said, I think you'll really like it. It's cute. Last year we had like four ideas and we had to kind of whittle it down. There's still an idea out there that I hope we do. Maybe that it'll get brought up again in the next few years that I think would be really funny. I don't want to say it because I want people to react to it if we actually do it in real time. But yeah, and then now, of course, this is just a tease that there'll be an announce coming. Yep. Mm-hmm. And we'll be with Mitch and Paul on the Thursday, whatever it is, the 22nd, the Thursday before Memorial Day. And then we'll open up registrations that Friday. So I think it's 2 p.m. Pacific that day we're on with them. Jeff Benson, myself, and Derek.
So this is going to get some good run is what we're hearing, this commercial.
I hope. Early reactions are good.
All right. Just want to make sure my image is out there. You know what I mean?
It'll be on VSiN, I mean, constantly during the five-minute breaks.
As long as it plays more than Bill Ailey's commercial.
So. You're gonna have to put a run for your money between me and Dave Ross, G-Bank, okay?
Like, that's so a famous a commercial. We're getting a big partnership with G-Bank. We're doing a lot of marketing with them. So
yeah, they've been great. We had a blast shooting that commercial, too, despite how mean I might come across to Dave. We actually really enjoyed ourselves.
He's a veteran.
I love when you come on because we get to dive into the hockey last night, another amazing night of games across the board. This playoff season so far has been a blast. And you've got a game 7 coming up in Colorado and Dallas.
What would you start me have put the number at? How many game 7s we would have had tomorrow with a 4 possible and none possible? I said 1.5 was the over under, and I leaned over.
Yeah.
But
I thought we would have at least gotten 2.
Right.
So,
but it's a busy day.
And
think if you'd have had 4 and you had Clippers, Nuggets, yep. But you got Canelo, you've got a UFC card, and you have the Derby. Like, I was convinced, here was my prediction. If there were all 4, they would make Dallas play before Toronto. Sure. They would do like a 1 o'clock, 11 a.m. here, 1 o'clock Dallas. They would not make Toronto play an early game 7, right, of the slate.
Think about if you're out there in Denver, though, too. It is for a puck drop, I think, it's to be tip off for Nuggets and Clippers is 4:30. And then 30 minutes later, it is Avs and Stars.
Yeah.
So, like, when you're talking about being out there, that's also part of, that's ridiculous in terms of scheduling. How are you supposed to support both teams?
I thought that Minnesota might be heading that way, where they were going to have Wild, and the Wolves took care of business.
We could still potentially have another Game 7, though, in the NHL.
I think
the Jets
we will.
And Blues going head-to-head tonight. You think so?
I do. Look, Hellebuck was terrible in Game 5. They couldn't get any shots on that.
He's been terrible the whole time.
That second goal was maybe the worst goal I've seen given up the entire playoffs. He just didn't get over to the post at all, but they couldn't get any shots on net. So that's one of my 2 plays today. I like this game over, and you get a plus on 5.5. I think he'll be bad. The problem is you can't have 2-2. Mm-hmm. But look how Montgomery's been when they're down. I mean, he pulls the goalie with a center ice face off. So, I mean, there's going to be empty net goals. He doesn't care how many he loses by. I just think that total's short. And I always think it's hard to bet unders in elimination games because teams are desperate. If they're down 2, they'll pull the goalie with 5 minutes left. I like the Blues. I don't really want to lay the price. I have them already, not in the series, but I have 55-1 for the Cup. So I've already got sweat with them, so I played the over tonight.
How volatile is in-game betting when it comes to hockey and these money lines in a tight money line like this? Because I always make the case in basketball, right? -1.5, you're going to get a better number at some point in the game. Is that the case in-game with hockey when you're talking about -115 one side?
So here's an example, John. I was convinced if at any point the Blues got the lead to bet them, but I was never going to bet them in game 5, and they never got to the lead, right? But if they'd have scored the first goal, and let's just say it's 10 minutes in, 12 minutes, 15 minutes in, I'm not sure they'd even been favored, but they would have been close. They might have been. I said lay 130 at any point in the first period. Second period, maybe I'd go up to 140. It's the money line swings, I think. But I follow them on every game because I find them fascinating. New Jersey up 3-0 on Carolina at the end of one was only -240. At that point.
Wow.
And I'm saying, like, how can in hockey a 3-goal lead, right? You're only getting 180 back, 190 back. How, that'd be a crazy bet, and yet that's the bet that cashed. It's funny to follow the movement. I still think the Knights were overpriced in that series. I thought that was a closer series than it ultimately indicated. The kid, what are these teams doing, Stormy? They bring these kids in with no NHL experience, these draft picks, straight out of playing against Western Michigan, and they're putting them in the third period of a game, and you get a double minor, and that's where the Knights scored at the very end of that 4 minutes. The crucial goal of the series, down 3-2, possibly going down 3-1. They keep throwing these kids in there. They're not ready for it.
Black Knights. Right? The young kids that get the opportunity to come up. But yeah, you're right. In moments like that, critical moments when you want your best players out there on the ice and you have some of these guys that are inexperienced and don't have that in the moment. Because you bring that up, though, what did you think about the Vegas series price with them actually being an underdog?
Wrong. I think that's wrong. That doesn't mean I'm going to bet them.
Right.
But I think that's wrong. I mean, are you going to tell? I guess the argument, you know, they didn't stop Minnesota's top line. What are they going to do against Edmonton? And Edmonton, I don't know. I mean, I can only argue that Edmonton was the better team against the Kings the last 2 games. I can't argue that in 3 and 4. It was an even game 3, and the Kings should have won game 4. The Kings were up 4 in game 1. They dominated game. I thought the Kings were the better team for the most part of that series. You've got a Stanley Cup winning goalie in Aiden Hill, right? I mean, they still haven't solved their problem in net. Their defense is not great. I still think the Knights should be a favorite here, 120, 130. I disagree with them. It's funny, the division champs all dogs, right?
Yeah,
and Toronto, a big dog to Florida.
So I was going to say, too, all the home teams are dogs in these sets.
They won their division, and they're the dogs in the second round.
How good does Florida look to you?
They look like the best team in hockey. They really, really do. What they did to Tampa was quite impressive to me. And they're healthy and they're bad. And I think they even look faster than they have in the past few years. They're still big and they still have that great board checking game. And you have a goalie that's won it, a guy that has been there 2 years in a row. Here's what's to me is interesting. And people tell me no. I keep asking how Paul Maurice could not have been on John Cooper's staff. And you can see the tension between the two of them. If he wins, if he goes back-to-back into three straight finals in 30, is he considered to be the Olympic coach for Canada? Or is it just Cooper's job no matter what?
I don't know. That's
I mean, Tampa's facing a total rebuild, is, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't know that answer. But interesting question to be posed nonetheless. I know you have a baseball bet that you wanted to do today.
I do, just for Jonathan. I get prop play. Yoshinobu Yamamoto tonight.
There you go.
Under 1.5 walks, minus 115. If you go back at his career last year and this year, anytime he's walked three in a game, he's come back with zero or one the next game. Braves mid-pack, tied for 15, most walks drawn. He in that game against Skeens Friday night in L.A. that he lost 3-0, he never found his release point in that game. And what I like about Yamamoto is he doesn't throw any non-competitive pitches. There's no wasted pitches. Even when he misses with a purpose. And he's not afraid to go three balls because he knows he has the kind of control that doesn't scare him, that he's just going to get errant. So I didn't want to lay the price with him. I really didn't want – I thought about the run line. Let's just focus. And no outs total. We get punished out here. I mean, there were no out totals for recorded outs. That was probably an angle I would have used, but I'm going to go with the walk angle tonight.
You know, last time I was on with you on your Bet on Chicago show, we talked about the American League Central and the fact that maybe the Tigers were going to run away. Seems like that is going to be the case. They've been pounding. We're going to pound on this Angels team, too, yesterday. That bullpen was atrocious. They're awesome.
4-2 going to the eighth. That hit a parlay that paid $1 million here.
Really?
What?
A parlay that paid almost $1 million.
That was ridiculous.
Wait, but every game, every team was at a point should have lost the game.
Yep.
The four-team parlay was Cubs. They were down 2-0 to Skeens. Yep. Knicks money line.
Okay.
Right? The end of the game, you thought the Pistons were going to come back and win. Clippers money line. That game was back
start.
And forth.
Yep.
And then Tigers, who are down 4-2 in the eighth. And it everything fell, but good for the person. He hit a terrific parlay.
I know we have to hit a break, but it's 5.5 too much for the Warriors now with how much this has come out.
I don't know. I don't think it is, actually. I think they're...
Really?
I don't. And I think it will be a terrific series in the second round, Wolves and Warriors, actually. I think it will be terrific.
I think these swings, we've talked about this, these straight-up losers, 21-11 ATS in the post. If you're blitting the zigzag, you're making money hand over fist.
You're awesome, Mike. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks, guys.
Mike Palm, everybody, the actor extraordinaire. Also, Moonlights is VP of operations here at Circa. We'll be right back on Money Moves. Best bets coming up at the end of the hour as well. Don't go anywhere.
Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The NBA and NHL postseasons are rolling on. We got plenty of MLB to come today. Lots to get to in this final half an hour of Money Moves on VSiN. Sirius XM, Channel 158, Jonathan Von Tobel, Stormy Bonantoni with you. We've discussed a couple times that Warriors-Rockets game. If you have a play in it, we will get to that at the end of the hour with our best bets. I wanted to talk, though, about some of these series prices that have come out. Mm-hmm. And notably, I mean, we mentioned it briefly, but the Celtics, a massive favorite against the Knicks, who closed out the series against the Pistons yesterday. The Cavs, minus 425, really big favorites against the Pacers. These numbers to you, I know at least with Boston felt right, but what about Cleveland? Is that fair?
I think it's cheap. There's
really?
Some spots that are under $4, or at least were. I haven't checked for a little bit, but there are certain shops that are like minus 380, minus 390 on the Cleveland Cavaliers. I think it's a very cheap price considering what this matchup, I believe, looks like on paper. Look, Cleveland's great. When you look at their ability to score with both Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell, there are really no perimeter defenders that I think you're going to trust if you're Indiana to shut down either one of these guys. They're going to have, I think, some big issues when you look at Indiana's ability to defend both of those guys, specifically Mitchell. The other part is, that was a matchup against Milwaukee that was tailor-made for Indiana to really go after them. Milwaukee had no perimeter athleticism, no real guards to defend Tyrese Haliburton and Andrew Nembhard. You at least have some guys that are big, long, Donovan Mitchell and DeAndre Hunter that can flash out to the perimeter, guard some of these guys. Hunter can take on a Tyrese Haliburton, if you will. I think there's so many different things that you can do here. Cavs have some versatility as well. They can go a little bit smaller with Mobley at the five. They can put in another forward that can shoot with Jared Allen at the five. There's so many different things that I think that they can do to really bother Indiana. And I think Indiana's played well defensively down the stretch. I don't think there's really any question about that. I just really like Kenny Atkinson and this team, man. Yeah. They're playing really well. They make the right adjustments. Atkinson is arguably one of the best head coaches in the league right now, given the way that he can coach this team up. And there, I don't think there's really any stopping Cleveland at this point. So I thought it was cheap. I also think there's this thought of like, hey, Indiana, watch out. Beat up on Milwaukee. That was a team that was on life support. And I think that this is going to be a much different challenge for them. So I laid 1.5 games and 2.5 games here with Cleveland.
The 1.5 for those wondering, the price is -160 to lay 1.5 games, +125 if you feel comfortable laying the 2.5 with the Cavaliers. Do you think that the Cavs are, I mean, granted, given the regular season that they have had, they certainly should be in the conversation, but do you think that they can win the Eastern Conference when you have an odds-on number in Boston and people just think that they can be this juggernaut? They obviously had an up-and-down series with Magic.
I mean, I think there's certainly a reality. The problem is, like, I wouldn't freak out too much about the Orlando series only because I don't think we give enough credit to how good Orlando is defensively. They're arguably the best defensive team in the postseason field. They're big, they're long, they're strong. That is a team that is going to have some problems. Remember, Boston was dealing with injuries throughout that series as well. Jrue Holiday, amongst the others. We're missing some time, Jaylen Brown. So I don't want to freak out too much. Jason Tatum missed a game as well. So I don't want to freak too much out about a grinder of a series that still ended in 5, by the way, right? Like, it wasn't even like they got pushed out to 6 or 7. I think that Cleveland has a chance to beat the Boston Celtics. They split the 4-game regular season series with them. I think the one thing that gives you a little bit of pause is that Donovan Mitchell averaged 35 points per game against Boston in the regular season. Can you do that again? And that's only to earn a split of 4 games. So I'm going to be very curious if they still have a problem with Donovan Mitchell, which I think you can make the case you do. He is much bigger than the two backcourt guys that they're going to have defending him. So I've been pretty high on Cleveland throughout the year. I think I've been higher than most. It obviously depends on the way the series is priced as well, should they meet each other in the Eastern Conference Finals.
So when it comes to the Celtics series with the Knicks, then real quickly, because it's priced out so much, are there any alternate ways that you can bet on Boston in the series? Because even laying 2.5 games is still steep.
I mean, you can go exact route, right? So we have
total games.
Yeah, it's like you can go total games if you want. You can go the exact series result as we're looking at here. Boston, 4, Boston at 5, +235, +220. I think that this is going to be a relatively short series. As I just get a text from Kelly Bidlin, which is a good idea as well. I don't know if he's listening or not. If you wanted to parlay the Celtics and Cavs -1.5 games together in for a series price,
I like that.
That could be pretty boring, but you could go ahead and do that if you want to eat into some of the price that you're going to be laying with Boston to win this series. So there's some different ways you can circumvent wanting to lay a price with the Celtics if you so choose.
Okay. Last thing before we move on from the NBA, futures market-wise, is there anything worth a look right now in your eyes?
Nah, I mean, I just don't think at this point the toothpaste out of the tube. I don't think you're really betting futures unless it's like a team that is down in the series. But even then, you're betting that team to win a series, and then you're rolling that over into the next series and rolling it over into the next series. There's not really anything from a future standpoint that is worth playing at this
point. So forgive me, because this is our first week doing full shows together. What positions do you have in the futures market right now?
I don't have anything, man.
Really?
I didn't bet any NBA
Who
futures.
Are you?
Right? I didn't bet anything in terms of actual. I had some awards that went up in flames. But in terms of actually winning this whole thing, there's really nothing that I've got right now that is of consequence. Actually, no, I don't have any futures at all. Look, I think that I like to bet these series, and I like to sit back and watch the larger sample size take place, right? So I've got the Clippers to win this series at +130, so on and so forth. But I prefer that route. I don't really have or didn't see anybody that was worth jumping on. I think Zach Cohen has some pretty good futures on the Timberwolves. That's a pretty big numbers to win the Western Conference. But there was nothing that I had jumped on in the regular season. So I am future free and just betting these series to series.
Okay, from the NBA to the NHL. We mentioned this with Mike Palm last segment, talking about these division winners, these teams with home ice in round two that are all underdogs right now. The Washington Capitals, +135 dogs to the Canes. Toronto, they finally win a second closeout game in 20 years. And what's their reward? Oh, they get to face the defending Stanley Cup champions that just looked awesome against the Lightning. They're +145 dogs, Panthers -170. And then the Vegas Golden Knights coming off their series win over the Wild, a home underdog, even money to the Oilers at -120. I think of that group, the one that I have the most interest in is the Vegas Golden Knights, because I think that they probably should be the favorite here. So I think that's off mark. But to Mike's point, is that something you want to bet? I don't know. Maybe just take it game to game and see how you want to play it from that standpoint.
Yeah, you could potentially. I wanted to ask you, I mean, because so for this series, I would agree. Like, I think Vegas outplayed Minnesota, like, much at a much higher degree than what the series result would tell you. And so if you look at, like, the even strength numbers, there's a strong argument to be made. Should have been a shorter series, and I don't want to freak out too much about it. What I'm more interested in, and I want to get your thoughts on, finally getting the monkey off the bat for Toronto. Mm-hmm. How much does that affect them as they move on now to the next round when you put so much effort into getting out of that first round because of everything? We talked to Nick Alberga as I blamed the fans, right? Like, stop talking about it. That's all you guys do. But when you finally reach the mountaintop or perceived mountaintop, there can be a letdown. And I do wonder if there is some sort of letdown for a team that has been fighting against history.
Well, and we saw it a few years ago when the Leafs finally got out of the first round for the first time.
No.
Then they fell flat in the second round. And it's one of those things that I think is it's an organizational flaw. It's just that it's terrible for Toronto that it's this way. But I honestly, I don't even see this just as a letdown against the Panthers. I just think the Panthers are that good.
Kick ass, yeah.
Yeah, because everyone knows when we came in to the opening round with that Florida and Tampa Bay Lightning series, I liked the Lightning. All of the numbers that I was looking through and the way that Tampa had grown in their game defensively the back half of the year beyond Four Nations, and as well as Andrei Vasilevsky was playing, their high-end skill at the top, I thought they were the better team in that series. I thought that they were going to be able to come out there and win that thing in six. They end up losing in ugly fashion to this Florida Panthers team who knows what it takes to get over the mountaintop, who, for as much of a grind as it is in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and it is, and to be able to make it all the way through June and then get back up and do it again is very, very difficult. But we have seen teams do it when they're built a certain way, and I think Florida's kind of built that way right now.
The would you lay like 1.5 games? It's plus 110.
I don't hate it,
yeah,
to be honest with you. Which I feel bad. And, like, Toronto has a lot of things looking up for them. It's they're not a slouch by any means. They finally have some top players that score on power play, so things are happening for them. But I just don't think that it's going to be there for them against the Panthers. So, but, I mean, we talked about in the NBA maybe doing those series parlays. I think that the Panthers just to win the series could be a really good parlay piece if you want to pair that up with something else. The Carolina Hurricanes, who I mentioned, minus 155 favorites in that set with the Capitals. And the big question going into that was the status of their starting goaltender, Frederik Andersen. I saw a report today that he is expected back at practice today.
Okay.
And things are looking up. So that's positive, especially.
That doesn't start till Monday, right? So you got about three days until you're going to see it.
Especially considering that Pyotr Kochetkov gave up 3 goals in the first 10 minutes of that game against New Jersey.
You were a little stuck on that name.
I took a beat.
Okay. I thought you're the pro. I thought you were going to be able to rattle that off.
I took
off.
A beat. But, I mean, if they were in that position, Logan Thompson is better than any backup goaltender that the Hurricanes could put in there. Frederik Andersen's been great. So that's a significant piece to that series for me is how injured was he and what is he going to look like here to start?
I'm betting that I would bet the Knights if I didn't have this futures ticket on them. I do have a Stanley Cup future. This is the only thing I have.
Was it just that one?
Yeah, that's it. Like the Knights beat Rider.
What number was it?
It was like 16-1
or something. Oh, good. Yeah, that's it. That was a good number.
January. The Knights beat Rider convinced me and was like, all right, that sounds good.
Beautiful. We're going to take a quick time out. We've got some best bets coming up after this, including one in the NHL. Mike Palm liked the over in that Blues-Jets game tonight, as do I. I've actually got a handful of angles to target the over. Stick around. We'll be back in a flash. Money Moves on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This Friday edition of Money Moves on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel with you here on the desk. And remember, smarter betting starts here all year long with VSiN Pro for a limited time. We're slashing the price of our annual subscription, usually $240, just $199 right now. And if you sign up today, we're throwing in 2 extra months for free. That's 14 months of VSiN Pro access for less than 50 cents a day when you use that promo code PRO. 14 months of access means our daily best bets from all VSiN show hosts and guests, exclusive betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 live video, full show replays, so much more, including our special edition betting guides. The NFL betting guide will be here before you know it. And our new Kentucky Derby betting guide. If you are looking to bet the run for the roses coming up tomorrow, this is how you do it. VSiN.com/subscribe. And again, use that promo code PRO. Our usual producer, Brian Ortega. We've got the wonderful Corey stepping in this week, these last couple of days. But Brian Ortega is actually out there at Churchill Downs. He was already sending us pictures of his outfits. He has been working, by the way, for like a month plus on making sure that he had detailed the perfect fit. So when he's back on the show with us next week, we're going to have to pump those tires a little bit.
That's the perfect fit?
That's day one. And yes, he looks great. Mm. We can't show our audience yet. We don't have it loaded up. So you can't. Do not criticize. He worked hard on that thing. I like the hat. He's looking dapper.
You know, we did not.
You're jealous because you don't have your bow
correct.
Tie.
I was
That's the
say,
real
yeah,
issue
we,
here.
We did not live up to the expectation of dressing up for the Kentucky Derby tonight.
You brought this up yesterday that I was probably going to fall flat given my travel situation, and you were correct. I am dead inside and on the outside right now after last night.
I mean, I guess you're wearing black, so is that's not really a color you wear to the Kentucky Derby.
Don't we have a top hat in here somewhere? I can throw that on. Oh, by the way, maybe when he comes back, he can tell me what a mint julep tastes like, or is it any good? Because that's all anybody talks about.
We can just go get one after the show. I'm sure
it
they're
is
stocked
a Friday.
Up. Yeah.
Is it worth getting?
Yeah. So there was a, I think statute of limitations, I won't get in trouble here. There was a Kentucky Derby Saturday where Brian Ortega, myself, and I believe it was Femi Bebefe when he worked for us. Regardless, there may have been a Kentucky Derby Saturday where I was in the same boat as you. I had never had a mint and julep before in the days of the South Point. I may have had one or four while we were on the air. Yeah, like while we were on the air discussing things. So it's a good drink. I very much enjoyed it. I think it is worth trying. Everything's worth trying at least once.
Well, I'm sure once you've had two,
then like
it
mint?
Started tasting better and better. I do like mint things, but I don't typically, not in drinks. I don't think I've had anything to drink that was minty.
I have not had one since that day, but I don't remember the mint being overpowering.
Okay, that's good to know.
And actually, bartenders can you can at me JVT or at Storm Bonatani. I think I said that right. The mint seems to be more of an aromatic than an actual flavor. So like when you smell it, obviously it hits your palate, so it does accentuate the taste a little bit. But I don't think it's too strong from what I remember.
You told me real quickly we had some tweets.
Oh, this is my favorite. Okay, so every year, it's not every year, one of my favorite things that happens when a team gets eliminated is the post-series report of like, hey, by the way, our star was injured. I can go back a couple of years ago where, if you remember, LeBron James and J.R. Smith, remember when they blow that game one against the Golden State Warriors, LeBron allegedly punches a whiteboard after the game, had broken his hand, but they don't say anything for the entirety of the series until afterward. Damian Lillard in the Western Conference Finals against the Golden State Warriors, allegedly in game one or two, had separated his rib. They don't say anything until afterward.
Yeah, we always get those reports.
Story filed to ESPN from Dave McMenamin. LeBron James suffered a grade 2 MCL sprain in his left knee from his collision with Dante DiVincenzo in Wednesday's game 5. The injury entails a 3 to 5 week recovery timeline.
Oh, there you go. Those reports always do come out after, and some of them are, why are you laughing?
There was a lot of jokes on Twitter about LeBron like going down and comparing it to certain reactions to certain things that happened in our world. So I thought it was pretty funny. There was one
that he actually was hurt.
Yeah, well, there was one guy. He's a radio host. I'll have to look up where he is, but he is a former veteran who does not have both of his legs because he lost them in combat. And he retweeted, he's like, I didn't cry this much when I got my legs blown off.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
Which is pretty funny.
But it is funny though that he actually was injured to me.
Yeah. I mean, it never looks good when you lose a series like that, and then afterward you're like, you know, he got hurt in that game.
Well, so it's funny you say that because I feel like I have worked for teams in the past. And I'm not saying I've worked for like three different teams. Mm-hmm. And in conferences and stuff like that. And so you know certain information. And it's funny how some organizations will reveal that stuff as an excuse. And then some are just like, nobody needs to know that. Right. Or they'll bring it up at the start of the next year and be like, well, actually, you know, this happened. Not the day after or the week after. Yeah.
Be a real team like my Clippers and lie about the severity of the injury and then afterwards say that, no, you actually needed it to get it amputated. He was never coming back.
I would also like to shout out Larry Matthews for saying grape jelly is fine, but fails in comparison to strawberry. And Jason Stark says, grape jelly sucks. Yep. JVT is 100% correct.
See?
I don't know, but the nation disagrees, everyone. It's fine. Like, there's nothing wrong with grape jelly. It is perfectly reasonable.
Yep.
Time for our best bets, presented by GBank, the official bank of VSIN, and GBank is upping the ante with their Visa signature card today. Most credit cards treat gaming transactions as cash advances. That's even when you put your own money on the card. GBank treats those gaming transactions as purchases, so you're saving 3-5% on cash advance fees and gaming transactions right there. Also, with GBank, you're earning 1% cashback rewards on eligible sportsbook and gaming transactions and 2% cashback rewards on other eligible purchases. VSIN.com/GBank is how you can get more information. What do you got today?
Really just one, and it's pretty simple. I'll do it. Despite the fact that if you're betting on straight up losers in the series, you are 21-11 against the spread. 5.5 is a bridge too far. I took 5.5 with the Houston Rockets today against the Golden State Warriors. It's just too much. They were catching 4.5 on the road in this last game. And I will fly in the face of the zigzag one more time and take that number with the Houston Rockets today.
All right. I didn't end up with a bet on this. I think the Warriors win, though. So if there's anything else on like the Major League Baseball card that you like or something like that, -230-ish, maybe throw that in as a parlay piece. I do think that they get the job done today. But to your point, 5.5, I wasn't necessarily sold on one way or the other. I am invested in the hockey this evening. Can the St. Louis Blues force a game 7? I think they can. They're -115 favorites against the Jets at home, where they are on a 14-game home win streak. And we saw the way that they played dominant hockey at home in the two games that have been played there to this point, outscored the Jets 12-3 in those games. And there are a few different angles here I think that we can get into as well. When we had Mike Palm on the program, he mentioned liking the over. The issues that Connor Hellebuck has had in the postseason are well-documented at this point, and I agree. And especially considering on the total, you're getting a plus money price on that end pretty decently. Like, I don't know if the expectation is, oh, in this type of a game, that's where you're going to get the best defense and hard checking and da-da-da-da. But we haven't seen a lot of that in this series. Also, no Mark Scheifele for the Jets. Another reason why I like the Blues here. But the over 5.5, you can get +130 right now at some books. Looking, and we've seen, 4 of the 5 games in the series that have all gone over the post, that have all had 6 goals or more scored in them. Both teams to score in the first period, I think, is very reasonable as well. That has happened in 4 of the 5 games in this series, +195 the price, and over 1.5 for the first period happened all 5 games to this point, and you're getting even money there. So I think there's lots of plus money options for there to be goals scored in this game. So if you want the instant gratification angle, if you want the full game angle, there's plenty of ways to get involved.
If you're right and the Blues win this game here today, what happens in the series?
I like the Blues. I told you that, though. Yeah. So that's why the future price on the series right now is what, +340, +350 in that range. I said the other day, if you think the Blues can come back, sure, +155 is available. But if they lose to the Jets, you're going to get a better number, and you are now. And something tells me that the Jets are in a little bit of trouble here. So tonight's going to be a big determining factor in that. Do we have a game 7 or are we done?
I'll believe you. I'm going to bet the Blues again. I promised you that I would the first time, that I'm doing it again here today. So we play. Ride or die here.
Team play.
On Money Moves.
Best bets
again. Hopefully we don't die.
Presented by GBank, the official bank of VSIN. We might. You and I both had late nights last night.
Yeah, very much so. So, yeah. Looking forward to a mint julep after this. How about that?
Mint julep and a nap, I think, is the way I'm playing this. And then we'll wake
up. I think they're serving them, right?
Then we can wake up for the game tonight and all will be right in the world.
That's right.
That's how you do it. That's a wrap for us today here on Money Moves. Thanks for hanging out with us. Yes, we will be back next week, same time, same place, beginning on Monday. We'll make sure we get all of the fit checks from our guy, Brian Ortega, out there at the Kentucky Derby. Pair journalism with something. Trifecta box something. Have a little bit of fun. You were looking at me like you're going to say something, no?
Decent first week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we're good.
Yeah. There's room for improvement.
There's always room for improvement in anything. But I think this was a solid week one in the books for the new partnership. I'm excited to keep this going.
Can't wait to get the email over the weekend. Like,
actually, you're fired. No, we've gotten really good social interaction this week too, guys. So thank you for chiming in on the conversation. Let's keep that moving. Coming up after this, prop points on today's show. They're going to have Bill Finley giving out his best bets for the Derby. You won't want to miss it.